Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has a new podcast every 2 weeks with up-to-date information about aviation technologies for general and business aviation. From home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech, Plain Talk provides informative information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 1,900 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years experience in the technology and aviation industries. I'd like to welcome Todd Bovington into the Plain Talk cockpit. Todd is an old friend of mine. We met back in 2011 on a TV production shoot called That's My Ride. Right, Todd?
That's My Ride.
That's My Ride.
That's My Ride.
But Todd decided to go after his dream and just today got his PPL, private pilot's license. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. That's right. It's the ink is still wet on the license, and I'm proudly wearing my new wings, and I couldn't be happier. It's been a long trip, but we're finally here.
What inspired you to decide to become a private pilot?
Well, it's a long way, but when I was a child, watched Neil Armstrong walk on the moon. And I turned to my dad and I asked him how I could do that. And his response was, well, first you're going to have to learn to fly. And so that was the beginning of it. Of course, then afterwards he said, but you can't be an astronaut because you're not American. So that was the end of that dream, although that was true then, not so true now. But I always wanted to fly when I was a kid. And so I knew, though, that my folks were not well off. They're not of high means. My father worked in the nonprofit sector his whole life. So I knew that my parents could never afford to send me to flight school. And so I never even bothered to ask because I just knew that the answer would be no, or it would be too difficult for them it would be a big strain on them. So I knew that it couldn't happen. So fast forward to high school age, I joined the Air Cadets with the express purpose of trying to learn to fly. And went through a bunch of their training. I went through, they had a scholarship program at the time, and I just missed out. I was the next one in line to get the scholarship.
That's annoying.
It happens, but, you know, kudos to the two folks ahead of me who got it. So, I was pleased for them. I couldn't do it. So, again, you put the dream aside a little while. So, after high school, then it's college, then it's family, then it's career, kids come along, and you know, you have other priorities. So I put it aside again, but then here I am 57 now, but 6 years ago I was 51, and all the kids were out of the house, and so I said, now it's time for me, now it's time to follow my dream. My wife bought me my first fam flight.
Wow, so she was completely on board.
Shall I say she was supportive? Completely on board might be an overstatement, but she was supportive because she bought me my fam flight. She knew I wanted to fly. We had talked about it a couple of times. So I did my first fam flight August of 2015, and immediately signed up for ground school. I said, "This is it. This is what I want to do." A ground school was just starting up, so I took my ground school, started flying, and started logging my hours.
And hooked.
I was hooked on aviation.
And then a bunch of speed bumps along the way as we're now in the fall of 2021. Talk a little bit about those bumps and, you know, the lessons you've learned.
Well, when they tell you, excuse me, when you start off, they say, look, if you're going to do this, you have to know you're going to devote some time to it. You got to fly a couple of times a week if you're gonna really get serious about it. And I tried, but of course there's career which intervenes. I also had an instructor who our schedules didn't mesh very well. He was a part-time instructor, and his schedule with my work schedule just didn't click a lot. And also, you got to fly with the weather. When our schedule is not meshing completely, I went through, without a word of a lie, 60 lessons that had to be canceled because of weather. Wow. It just happened to be just bad luck for literally 60 times in a row. So that was months and months. There's a big chunk in the middle there missing. Then the school that I started out with, Toronto Airways, was at Buttonville. They moved to Oshawa. And for me, that was it was just too long a drive. It ended up being about a four-hour commitment to do any lesson. By the time you drive there, get your lesson in, get your paperwork, do all your prep work, and then come home, it was a 4 to 4.5 hour commitment each lesson. So that just became too much.
And then for those that aren't familiar with the Greater Toronto area, that little thing called pesky traffic on the 401.
Even on the toll road of 407, it just was a long haul out to Oshawa, which is where it moved.
It's a grind.
Yeah, this is true. So it just became too much. So again, I kind of put it aside. I said, this is getting too much. But then a new school, Canadian Flyers, opened up at Buttonville again, close to my home. So again, I enrolled with them. But once you have that was a whole year that I was off. And once you've had a year off, you're really starting at zero again. You have a new instructor, you have dispatchers, new everything. So you're kind of starting at zero again.
New airport that you're flying in.
Well, that's true. Although I was familiar with Buttonville because I started there. But yeah, when I moved to Oshawa, now you got to come back to Buttonville. So you got to learn new procedures. And in the interim, the tower had closed. So I had to learn a whole new departure and arrival procedures. So again, you're starting off at zero. So I was starting to really pick it up, really getting good at it. And then COVID hit.
Crap. Oh, that's a technical term.
That is, in fact, a technical term. And so there's another whole year. So the school closed. Everything closed. And that was almost exactly a year off again. So once again, new instructor, starting out at zero. This time, though, once COVID was over, I said, I have to make a commitment. I can't go through this again. I can't do this to myself. Financially, I can't do it because now you're building up hours. Hours that just, and money that is just wasted, just thrown down a hole. So I made the commitment. I was going to minimum twice a week. I kept that commitment a lot of times, three times and sometimes four times a week. And then you really start to see your skills pile onto each other. And you really start to see, yes, now I'm getting it. Now it's really flying. And so finally, here we are, October 14th. I took my flight lesson, my check ride, and they signed me off, and here I am.
Did they throw a big bucket of water over you?
On my solo, they threw a bucket of water on me. That was a while back. That was last summer. It was the summer before COVID.
Way better than January.
Oh, absolutely. No, this time I got a handshake, and I got fancy wings.
Did they mention the Canadian Flyers tattoo?
No. Uh-oh. Where will I get it?
I don't know.
I've lots of real estate on my empennage, yeah. Shall we say, but I don't think I'm going to get that. No, I got a nice wings. I have some American friends who asked me if they cut the tail off of my shirt, but I didn't get that happen. So
crap, eh? They didn't give you the full.
I believe they call it getting my wings clipped.
Full experience. So I do have to congratulate you. The determination, the stick with it, follow your dream.
Absolutely.
Start a process and complete it, even though there were such large speed bumps, some of them that, like COVID, completely out of your control. It just must have felt like the emotions of doing your check ride, landing, congratulations, you passed. Tell us a little bit about that.
Those who haven't gone through this process just don't know the elation. When I pulled in and parked, I looked at the examiner because their face is very blank when you're flying with them, it's you know, do a slow flight, do a steep turn, do a, there's no, you get no feedback from them at all. So I landed and we shut everything down, and I looked at him, I really tried to get, and I said, so am I a pilot? And he looked at me and he, as non-committal as you can be, he says, well, I see no reason to fail you.
Ouch.
So I said, so does that mean I passed? He said, you passed. And I immediately, I was just like, yes.
So did you pull out the flask of Kentucky whiskey for post?
No. You can't. No bottle to throttle.
Oh, no. No, that's...
Well, that's before.
Before. This is after.
Yeah. I certainly celebrated with my wife that night.
So what are, you know, going forward, what are some of your ambitions?
I have no illusions. I'm 57 years old. So I have no illusions I'm ever going to be a commercial pilot. That would have been a dream when I was a kid. That would have been a dream when I was a teen. If I had have got my pilot's license through the Air Cadets, probably I would have ended up as an airline pilot in some capacity. Especially since that was in the 80s, so there was great job opportunities back then. But no, I'm going to be a for fun pilot, a weekend warrior. Take my kids up, take my grandkids up. They always say when you have a task, keep a big goal and a small goal in mind. Well, obviously the big goal is pass, get my license. So, and I've done that. My small goal has always been just take my wife up for a ride. Nice. That's it. And we're booked tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
So, are you taking her to Lindsay for butter tart?
I don't know. She's a bit nervous still. She's always been a nervous flyer, even on commercial. So, but she says she'll go up. She says she'll go with me. So my first plan is I'm just going to take her for one circuit, just circuit once, and then ask her how you feel. If she still feels good, then I'll take her for a fly. We'll go up over our house. Sure, show the house from the air, why not?
Or go look at the fall leaves up north.
Yeah, or something. And then, you know, go up north. And then if she's still comfortable, maybe we'll go to Lindsay. My grandkids are all in London. Coming, not this weekend, but maybe next weekend if the weather's nice. I like to fly over to the St. Thomas Airport.
Fly to London Airport. It's the same as flying at Oshawa.
That's true. But, you know, I'll keep it small. I'll keep it simple just to start off. I'll do a little municipal airport and then take my grandkids up for a little ride.
I would think you've got a great radio voice, having a little bit of a baritone and sounding like a pro pilot.
That's what everyone said. All the instructors have said, your radio work is awesome. You sound like a pilot on the radio, so... I guess it's just a blessing of having this voice.
Have you thought about the next dream and perhaps, owning an airplane either on your own or with a bunch of other like-minded folks?
That's definitely in the future. I have spoken with a friend of mine who's also on this journey, and he and I have lightly spoken about maybe going in together, maybe with another couple on an aircraft. But who knows what the future will hold? I mean, I just barely got my license. I think that's something a little bit more in the future. And aircraft now, just the prices are so you have to split it. I can't imagine owning it on my own. But splitting it up 3-4 ways.
Yeah, sure. Split the operating costs. And hopefully this COVID seller's marketplace will come back to norm, shall we say.
Let's hope, because when you're looking at 172s at $100,000 and $80,000 and used on top of that. We were actually looking at a Piper Cherokee 140.
Mm-hmm. Nice airplane.
Nice, stable, fun aircraft to fly. So, and that was in a reasonable, I think that was like 39 in Quebec. So it's probably gone by now. At that price, it's probably gone.
Any lessons learned that you can share with the Plane Talk audience?
I have plenty of lessons learned. Number one, if you're going to make this commitment, if you're going to do it, make the commitment. And you got to fly 2-3 times a week minimum. Whenever I flew only once or had a week or two break, whether it was for work-related or weather-related, I really noticed it. you really notice. And you notice it when you get a couple of lessons in a row under your belt. You start feeling much more comfortable. The skills tend to sort of come a little easier. You're not thinking so hard about do this, then that. It just kind of, you've internalized it. That's number one. Number two, find an instructor you're really simpatico with. Because if you're not on the same page, it doesn't work. It's just hard. And I found that along my journey is that one of the instructors was, we just weren't 100% on each other's page. Don't be afraid to change instructors. No one's going to think any worse of you. Just go to the school and say, look, just for one reason or another, I have to change instructors. And, you know, no one's going to bother you about it. They'll just find you another instructor. The other thing is, be aware of the financial commitment. They do at the beginning tell you about the financial commitment, but I'll tell you, I'm just pulling it up here now. I'm just trying to remind myself. I logged everything from start to finish. $46,600.17.
Canadian.
That's Canadian, but still, for 151 hours.
Wow. Wow.
Yikes. That was it. 46 wow. grand.
Have you told your wife yet?
My wife knows.
No. Oh, she does. And she's still your wife.
And she's still my wife.
Perfect.
But remember, that's over five and a half years. So it was quite spread out. But yeah, there's a financial commitment. But you see, it's so high, and the hours, 151 hours is so high because I had so many starts and stops. Yeah, so if you make the commitment that you're going to fly 2 and 3 times a week, if you make the commitment you're going to do that, it's going to be way lower. I mean, I budgeted, when I first started off, I said, okay, Transport Canada says you have to have so many hours. I'm going to assume I'm probably going to double that. This is how much the school charges. My original estimate was around 27,000. So if you're going to fly, you know, 2 times a week, you're probably going to be in that range, 27-ish grand. And so be prepared for that. That's, you know, some people think, oh, I'm going to go and it's going to be a couple lessons and it'll be fun. And yeah, 27 bills.
So what's on the horizon, Todd?
What's on the horizon for me flying-wise? Just probably, as I said, once a month or twice a month, just for fun. Get a night rating, mainly just to, not so much to fly at night, although it's kind of nice, I've been up at night, but it's just to extend the day. So if I go somewhere, I don't want to have to worry about rushing back.
Especially in the wintertime, I got to be back by 5.
Yeah, exactly, when the sun's down at 5 o'clock and the sun's not even up until 10, you know. So you have an extremely short day to get anything done or to go anywhere. And that's about it, really. I can't imagine getting an IFR rating, or definitely not commercial. That's beyond the scope. IFR is probably beyond the scope too. Who knows? But I'm 57.
It's all good.
It's all good.
I do congratulate you on getting to the end of your dream and allowing the next dream to start to unfold. And thank you for being part of Plane Talk.
Thanks very much. And let's go flying sometime.
Anytime, Todd.
All right, man.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.